little worksheet that kind of help you guys process on how to develop a vision statement, how to define your own vision. One thing that Matt said is very profound, that's real, and it's biblical, that without a vision, a people perish. So many people have eyesight, but they don't have insight. They have the ability to see, but they don't have vision. And so I'm going to read these three scriptures real quick, and we're going to talk about how to process the process of developing a vision. Is there anybody blind in this room? Nobody's blind? Everybody can see, right? Well, we're going to talk about how to really have deep insight, the ability to see things how God wants you to see them. I'm going to read these scriptures real quick. We're going to really break down what a vision is and how to develop one and have an activity for you to take home to kind of process what your vision statement would be in life. Let's read Matthew 6, 22 to 23. It says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Habakkuk 2, 2 to 3 says, "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay." And the last scripture, last two, Proverbs 20, 12, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both." Psalms 101, 3, "I would not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me." I wrote on this piece of paper, it's not on your notes, that in order to be different, you have to see different. In order to be different, you have to see different. God doesn't necessarily care about your ability to see. He cares about how you see what you see. Everyone in this room, no one raised a hand and said they were blind. So that means everyone in this room can see, meaning that you have a perspective in life. The first scripture, I'm going to break these down real quick, and then we're going to get into Rebecca. But Matthew 6, 22 to 23 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body." Notice the word eye. It didn't say eyes. It says the eye is the lamp of the body. Everybody heard about in secular culture the third eye. You know what the third eye is? It's your pineal gland. They talk about it's the inner eye. It's your perspective. It's how you see things. And I put here in my notes that your outer eyes are slaves to your inner eye. Your outer eyes are slaves to your inner eye, meaning your eyesight is slaves to your perspective. The Bible says the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, if your perspective is healthy, if you see things the right way, your whole body will be full of light, meaning you will be illuminated, meaning that you will be able to perceive things the correct way. You'll be able to process money, process time, process everything that's in the components of your purpose. But verse 23 says, "But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" So many of us do not take the necessary time to make sure that we formulate the right perspectives about life. How do you see you? How do you see money? What do you see beyond today? I did a video on YouTube the other day that I talked about how the reason why people are not as successful as they desire to be is because their days never change. Their tomorrow is only going to be a copy of their today because they never implement any systems or habits or disciplines to ensure that they grow at least 1 to 5 to 10, maybe 20% a day. You cannot outwork. You should not allow anyone to outwork your realm in regards to your purpose. It doesn't matter how talented you are, no matter how skillful you are. If you don't have the right perspective about your life, you will waste time. You can get money back. You can get an ex-girlfriend back. If you get the right flowers and the right candy, you can get what she likes. You can get a job back, but one thing you cannot get back, and that's time. Time. If you make the best use of your time, success is inevitable. You are in a ripe age where no one knows who you are. That's the greatest season of your life because nobody knows you. And when nobody knows you, you get the opportunity to work on you. You get the opportunity to work on your perspective, giving you the ability or setting yourself up to see things accurately. Let's go to a vision. A vision must be. I wrote an acronym for vision. the first box with the lines. If you don't have a pen, maybe your friend will give you the answer a little bit later. But a vision must be these five things. A vision must be from God's vantage point, and it must be valued. A vision must be from God's vantage point, and it must be valued. Your vision from your life must be from God's vantage point. Right now, your perspective on life is tunneled. God's perspective on your life is peripheral, meaning that at one glance of your life, he has already, at one glance, he sees your past, your present, and your future in one glance. He is the Most High. The reason why the Word of God say the Most High, because there will be some other people who are high. There's going to be other people who got a higher perspective, a high mindset. But God is saying, I am the Most High. That if you trust me and if you engage with me, you will actually be connected to the person who has the greatest vantage point of your life. He'll be the one to give you the play-by-play, the step-by-step. He'll be the one to help you see things correctly. Listen, man. I wrote 5 books in my life so far. I'm not an editor. I'm just an author. I can look at my manuscript and be like, this looks good. But if I put it before the eyes of an editor, the eyes of the editor will see things that I can't see because I'm not skilled in editing. The more skillful you are, the better you see things. I'm just a writer, so I'm just right. I'm just a talent, what people say. I write. But if I just say, oh, that's good enough, then I realize at my skill level, that ain't good enough. That in order for me to really grow in the self-publishing world, in the author world, I got to make sure I surround myself. If I don't have the skill, make sure that I'm surrounded by skillful people so that they can help me see better. But man, I'm telling you, the one that sees the best is Jesus. And when you say, Lord, I'm acknowledging you in all my ways, I need to know from your vantage point, is this the right girl? Is this the right opportunity? Is this the right school? Is this the right place for me to spend my senior year? Is this the right degree? Do you know how many people waste thousands of dollars in a degree they never use? If Jesus was about his father's business at 12, then that should give us an insight of that we should know who we are probably before 12. But so many people are going to college to try a degree and they never use that degree. But God is saying what everything that I wanted you to be was already in you. So he's saying in order for you to have a clear, specific, tailored vision for you, you got to trust it from my vantage point. And a vision is no good if you don't value it. Man, I could tell a man who values himself by the way he carries himself. A man who values himself carries himself differently. If he don't value you because your father wasn't there, your mom wasn't there, or whatever the story may be, then when you devalue yourself in your mind, the people will begin to utilize you for their value. You understand what vultures are, right? You know what vultures do. They circle around things that are dying. They don't necessarily eat until the thing dies, but they circle it, the thing that's dying. There are people in no matter what realm of life you want to be in, there are vultures in that realm. And if you don't have the right perspective about you, if you don't value, they will circle you until they can capitalize on you. But if you value yourself, you will study for yourself. Man, I don't got time to just be passing time by and not capitalize on what God wants me to do. Your vision must be from God's vantage point, and your vision must be valued. Next, a vision must be intentionally pursued. Intentionally pursued. Every day I wake up in my life, I'm pursuing what I already know my vision for my life is. Man, you at an age right now where you are surrounded by distractions. You at an age right now where there's girls coming for you because they see potential. Don't let somebody who sees your potential take you away from your practice, because you'll get caught up in the praise of people who celebrate and get in awe of what your potential is, that you'll miss out on the daily practices that you must do. Potential is not promised. Everybody has potential, but not everybody taps into their full potential. You becoming the person that God wants you to be guarantees you and tapping into your full potential. But in order for that to happen, every day has to be a day of discipline. Every day has to be a day where you intentionally pursue it. That means, hey, whatever, listen, you had a great opportunity because who's seniors in here? You have about 6-8 months before college. Juniors have a year and some change for college. Sophomores, you have 2 years or so. You actually have time to say, God, what am I here to do? Give me insight. Give me vision so I can prepare accordingly. You don't want to get to a place where you're rushing to get ready. You want to step into your opportunity already ready. Don't you know right now that there shouldn't be no competition against those who have God in them? That when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the cliff notes, you have everything that you need, you have the resources upon resources inside of you that will guarantee you, say, man, don't take that deal. Don't go here. Go here. Move like this. Think like this. Prepare like this so that when the opportunity comes, you will see it before it comes. A man of vision, senses. They know what they need to do with the season that they're in. And they intentionally pursue it daily. Next, a vision must be solid and sure. Solid and sure. When I found out that my wife was the one for me, you couldn't tell me nothing. I was sure of it. You need to be sure about certain things in your life. Not just sure because of emotions or feelings, but you got to be sure that this is confirmed by God. Because you don't want to go by a vision and pursue a hoop dream, pursue entrepreneurial endeavors that God is not in. Because if you pursue endeavors that God is not in, you will actually waste time. But so many people are walking in areas that are not solid and they sink. Your vision must be confirmed by God. Because you know why? I'm married right now. If she wasn't confirmed by God for me, if I wasn't sure that I knew, whatever, then any girl that walks past me would have me curious because I wasn't quite sure. But when you know that someone is for you, something is for you, you will begin to value it. And anything that tries to distract you from that vision, you'll say no to it. Because you know for a fact, every blessing that is tailored to me from this day forward is connected to that person. God just doesn't care about just you. He cares about everything connected to you. That's why every man in this room, if you desire to own a business, if you desire to be married, if you desire to lead, you got to be a man of vision. Because when you are pioneering a path, if you're changing the way the game is played, if you're maneuvering differently, you got to make sure you see correctly. I got to make sure I see correctly because I have a wife now. It's a different game now. So when I started my YouTube channel and I started speaking, I couldn't do certain things because I don't know who knows me wherever I go. Now that when you step into a new realm, you gotta actually see yourself differently and hold yourself accountable. Your vision must be solid and sure. And I stand on this thing and I know this is what I'm supposed to do. That no matter who laughs at it, I don't care how big your dream is. Dreams die when you tell your dreams to people with small minds. Your dreams die when you tell it to people who can't comprehend. That's like me arguing with someone who only speaks Spanish, arguing with someone who only speaks French. What's the purpose? We're not on the same communication wavelength. So when you communicate a big dream to people who communicate small, that's a waste of your time. A vision must be operable. A vision must be operable. That means it actually got to be functional. God is the only one that can make things run. He's the fuel to everything that you want to function in. Your vision must be operable. And last but not least, a vision must be fulfilled by someone who is not afraid to say no. V is for vantage and value. I is for intentionally pursued. S is for solid and sure. O is for operable. And N is for those who are not afraid to say no. One of the greatest words that you should have in your vocabulary is two letters. No. A person of vision knows how to say no. A person of vision knows how to say, you know, I can't eat that. No to this food. No to this way of eating. No to this way of thinking, because I'm going somewhere. But if you don't know where you're going, you'll eat off of anybody's plate. You'll do anything that you desire to do because you're not disciplined. Let's go to the process of developing a vision. The process of developing a vision. Let's read Habakkuk 2, 2 through 3. This is where these points come from. The Bible reads, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. The process of developing a vision. True vision is insight. True vision is a healthy eye. A healthy perspective, which only comes from the person of God. And when you actually get into deeper connection with who he is, then you will begin to flood into the process of developing that vision. Number one, the first blocks you must receive and write the vision. Write the vision. You have to receive and write the vision. You cannot receive outside of relationship. In order to receive the vision for your life, it must be received from a relationship. It must be received from your connection with God. It doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter how skillful you are. If you don't know who you are in Christ, nothing compares. Your success down here means nothing. You can't take your money to heaven. You can't take your anything to the afterlife. Once you meet God eye to eye, you're going to be held accountable for what you do in this vessel. You don't own your body, you're leasing it. Some of you guys, I don't know if y'all 16 and up and understand what leasing a car means. When you lease a car, that car is not technically yours. You're going to have to return that car back to the dealership, and you will be held accountable for how you drove that car. The same is with your body. You don't own it, you're leasing it. You're going to have to bring this vehicle, this vessel, right back to the maker. And he's going to audit how you use this body. We got to make sure that we say, I'm a man of vision now, so that God can reap the ultimate fruit from my life. You must receive and write the vision. You receive it from relationship. All relationships take work. Relationship with God takes work. Man, I don't feel like praying all the time. I don't feel like reading my Bible all the time. I don't feel like doing everything that requires the spiritual discipline. I don't feel like doing it all the time, but I know the rewards from it. Some things don't come out but by prayer and fasting. Some things ain't going to come out without spiritual disciplines. In order to receive, you receive from relationship. And in that time with God, you can be able to write the vision he has for you. My greatest ideas comes right after I spend time with God. My next two card games, my next books, my next ventures. I'm so addicted to the presence of God because I know he's going to give me the next steps to my life. That I don't want to live this life like this all the days of my life. I want to be a successful man. I want to be a wealthy man. But I'm not going to be wealthy in the way God wants me to be outside of him. So in order for me to actually be vigilant and to be victorious in his life, I got to stay in his presence and receive and write the vision. Man, if you go to my office right now, you will have, there's about 10 to 12 notebooks full of ideas. Message, I got 50 messages in a chamber just in case I want to do a YouTube video. I got dating videos all the way to the end of December. I got 7 book ideas already skeletonized because I know I received from him. You can only get out from God what you're willing to put in. If you're not willing to put in the work, you're just going to be a dead man walking. You're just going to be a man with no value, no pursuit. Man, you don't want to die and go to heaven and God says, come with me for a minute. Let me show you this warehouse. Here are all the ideas that you did not implement in the world. I don't want to stand before God and God says, man, we could have did great things. We could have did more things, but you didn't want to seek me. Your greatest resource, let me make it plain, your greatest source is God. People think that Mike Krzyzewski is their greatest source. People think that Steve Kerr is their greatest source. People may think that the president, they may think the CEO of this, they may think that's their greatest. It don't matter if you got, it don't matter who you have in your phone. It don't matter who you aspire to know. Nobody's greater than God. Some people make you pay to spend time with him, but he paid for you to spend time with him. God said, man, everybody else may require a fee for you to talk to them. But he says, look, listen, I paid the fee for you to get unlimited access. The number one person that you view as the most successful man, what if that person makes you pay $1,000 to speak with them? But God's like, man, I paid the ultimate price for you to spend time with me, and I know everything about you. I know every move that you should make. Trust me for the insight and the vision for your life. A vision must, the process of developing a vision, you receive it, and then you write the vision. Next, the verse says, make it plain on tablets. Make it plain, the next point, make it plain on paper. Or your phone, your tablets, you know, make it plain. In order to develop a vision, you got to receive it from God. You can't receive from a relationship without relationship with him. After you are spending time with him ritualistically and you engage with him, then he will begin to give you insight and vision for your stage of life. And as you begin to receive that vision and you begin to write that vision down, now he's going to take you into a place of making it plain. You ever got into a creative brainstorming moment with yourself and you start writing things down on a notebook and your points are scattered everywhere? You wrote the idea down, but it's not plain yet. Making something plain requires time. Man, I remember when I was at Oral Roberts University, Matt, man, I saw a vision for my life. I saw stadiums full. I saw revival in the street. I saw myself getting on the plane, getting on another plane. There was a prophesied many weeks after that that was confirming what God placed in my heart. I saw it. I saw it. I saw wealth. I saw I didn't care about being number one. I saw myself as a number two man. A number two man is the man that makes the most money, the man that moves things. People want to be number one. But the most successful person, the Joseph and Pharaoh story, wasn't Pharaoh, it was Joseph. I had clear vision. My first year, couldn't get back to ORU. Got sent back home my mother's living room, slept on the floor. I said, God, how can you show me this big vision for my life, and I'm back in my mama's living room at 23 years old. 10 years of writing books, 10 years of doing videos, 10 years. It was 10 years October 30th for me starting what I'm doing now. 10 years. Some people not willing to put 10 months in making something plain. Some people not willing to put 10 days. Some people not willing to put a year to make something plain. What if God sits you down for 10 years? People overestimate what they can do in a year, but underestimate what they can do in a decade. God is trying to make you plain, make you prepared for the big picture. But so many people don't want to make their vision plain. When you write that vision about being a ball player, you're writing that vision, man, you got your vision board. You got, I want to play on this team. I want to make this kind of money. You got CEOs on your wall. You see it. But every position you see has pressure on that position. And God said, I'm trying to make you plain while you make your vision plain. You got to write the vision down. You got to see it. And after you see the next S, you got to study it. Man, I can look and say, I see a Pastor Gould, or I see people who are successful. I see it. I see entrepreneurs that I look up to that I see. I can see it. But if I don't take time to study it, man, Matt ain't joking about them laws, man. I see why I was hidden for 10 years. I got to learn laws. I got to learn principle. I got to learn real estate. There's a lot of things I want to learn, because if I don't learn it, I can't earn it. If you plan to earn, plan to learn. If you plan to earn in any arena of your life, you have to learn that area. That's what making it plain does. And that comes from spending time with God. That comes from spending time with your craft. That comes with studying to show yourself approved. So when you stand, stamp of approval. Next, you got to make it readable and runnable and surrounded with solid runners. You got to make it readable. The Bible says, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. You got to make it readable. Sometimes simple is best. How can people read your vision if you don't know how to articulate your vision? How can people engage with who you are when you don't even know who you are? You got to make it readable. So when people see you, they can read success. When you present your idea, they can see it and read it. And there's going to be people that's going to be around. You got to make sure you have solid runners around you. What's the saying that says if you want to go, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go with the team. You got to have runners with you. Mentors. There's three levels, and I'm done after this. I got 4 minutes. There's three types of circles in your life. They're your champions, there's your comrades, and then there's your carriers. Three circles of people in your life. Number one, champions. People who've championed the area that you want to go after. You got to make sure that's your most important circle, are your champions. You got to surround yourself with people who's been there. You got to be around people who got mud on the shoes of the place you want to be. You got to surround yourself with people who knows what that land smells like, that knows how the women are in that area, who knows what the temptations are and survived it. Everybody surround themselves with comrades. Nothing wrong with comrades. Those are your brothers. Those are your people that's running with you. But they only know as much as you know. You're going to need some people that's going to run with you because you need people to motivate you and say, you got this. But you can't just trust your comrades because they are just as knowledgeable or on the same level as you, maybe less or maybe above. And the other level are your carriers. One day you're going to be a mentor to somebody who's going to carry the principles that you've carried for years. But if you don't have that circle of champions above you, you might not want to progress too far in life. Because you need people who saw and scouted the land first before you pursue that land. The next point says, give it time to manifest and materialize even when it seems slow. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. The Bible reads in verse 3, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. You got to give your vision time to manifest and materialize even when it seems slow. You got to give yourself time. So many people at this age and my age, they rush. Rushing leads to ruins. When you rush, you ruin. You got to give yourself time to mature. Man, you got to give yourself time to do a lot of things. Because right now, all of you guys in this room have zeal. But not everybody in this room has wisdom. Y'all youthful, so you got nothing but energy and zeal. Nobody can't tell you can't make nothing. Nobody can't tell you ain't gonna play for this team. Nobody can, you have zeal. But life is what gives you wisdom. Observation is what gives you wisdom. Your relationship with God is what gives you wisdom. So you, in order for your vision to be clear, you gotta give it time to manifest and materialize. I see ministry differently now. I see business 10 times differently now than I did 6 months ago. We ain't talking about 6 years. We're talking about 6 months ago. You got to give yourself time. People want promotion. But when people get promoted to a place on their own effort, they realize they're not prepared or mature enough to manage that place of promotion. Last but not least, stay consistent and let it prove to everyone, not you. A lot of people, they love communicating their vision versus being quiet and being consistent with their vision. So what they do is, man, this is what I'm about to do. Man, I'm about to start this business. I'm about to start this ministry. I'm about to start this business. I'm about to pursue this career. I'm about to do this. They talk it first. Don't realize you don't even know how long it's going to take for that thing to manifest. You have to stay consistent with it and let God prove it to everyone. Now you're exercising, I'm out your way. Your life work, developing a vision statement. You can have a vision, but you got to have a vision statement, a statement that says, these are my guidelines, this is how I move in life. Take some time to answer the questions below to help you formulate a vision statement for your life. Here are some examples of my vision statement for my life. My vision statement is to build people, relationships, and communities. That's my mission and vision for life. My goal in life is to build people, build relationships, and build communities. Nothing can take me away from that vision. Another vision is with my nonprofit, helping adults unplug and students propel. My goal in life is to see adults unplug from the world's influence and to see students propel in life. I work in elementary school, so my goal is to see students propel into their purpose. Another vision statement of mine comes from the Bible. John the Baptist said, "Is presenting to God a people prepared." That's my mission. That's my vision. To see people prepared. Number four, these are the three things that I do in life. I'm a resource developer, a minister, and a social entrepreneur. The reason why you got to make a statement, because those become the boundaries by which you drive through life. You would be able to say, hey, if you go to Chick-fil-A right now, you can stand outside of Chick-fil-A and say, I want burgers. Give me burgers. I want burgers and I want it now. Chick-fil-A is going to kindly, politely say to you, even though it may be my pleasure to give you burgers, we only serve chicken. That's their vision. That's their mission. We only deliver this service. When you do that and you specific, nobody can push you into an arena where you won't be successful in. Simple. What's the purpose? What future would you like to see in life? The now. What person must you be to help establish this future? Actions. List some words that can go after or end in ing. Example. I'm here to, or creating, or bringing, etc. What services will you provide or would like to provide? Also list your talents and skills. Who will benefit the most from your services or solution, your target audience or recipients? Problems. What problem or problems will you and or your service solve? And when you process this with God in your time alone, you will begin over time to develop a vision statement for your life that you will anchor yourself in. Everybody can see, but not everybody can see clearly. If you want to be different, you got to see different. If you plan to earn, you must plan to learn. And that's it, guys.